We're reading out of the social writings of Rabash, page 28. The article is, "One should always sell the beams of his house." You can ask questions at Kabda.tv. Relevant questions will be aired. Rabash Social Writings, page 28. Article number 9. Rabbi Yehuda said, Rav said, "One should always sell the beams of his house and put shoes on his feet." We should understand the precision about the beams of one's house and the great importance of shoes, to the point that it is worth selling the beams of his house for it, meaning to have the ability to put shoes on his feet. We should interpret it in the work. The korot, the beams of his house, come from the word mikre, incident, meaning everything that a person experiences in his home. We perceive man by two discernments, by knowledge, meaning with the intellect, and by emotion, meaning what we feel in our hearts, whether we are happy or unhappy. These incidents that we experience evoke questions in our everyday lives. This applies between a person to his Creator and between a person and his friend. Between a person and the Creator means that he has complaints to the Creator why he is not satisfying all his needs. In other words, the Creator should fulfill what the person thinks he needs, because the rule is that the conduct of the good is to do good. And sometimes he complains as though he feels the opposite, that his situation is always worse than that of others, who are at a higher degree than he is. It follows that he is in a state called spies, who slander Providence because he doesn't feel that delight and pleasure in his life, and it is hard for him to say, "Only goodness and grace will follow me all the days of my life." Thus, at that time, he is in a state of spies. Our sages said about that, "One must bless for the bad as he blesses for the good." Since the basis of Judaism is built on faith above reason, this means not relying on what the intellect compels one to think, say, and do, but on faith in a benevolent higher providence. And precisely by justifying providence, one is later rewarded with feeling delight and pleasure. Baal HaSulam gave an allegory about a person who had complaints and demands of the Creator that he wasn't granting all his wishes. It is like a person who is walking on the street with a little child, and the child is crying bitterly. All the people on the street are looking at the father and thinking, "How cruel is this man, who can hear his son crying without paying any attention?" The child's cries make even people on the street feel sorry for the child, but this man, who is his father, doesn't. And there is a rule, as a father has compassion on his children. The child's cries made people go to his father and ask, "Where is your mercy?" Then his father replied, "What can I do if my son, whom I keep like the apple of my eye, demands of me to give him a pin so he can scratch his eye because he has an itch in his eyes? Can I be called cruel for not granting his wish? Or is it for mercy that I will not give it to him, so he will not poke his eye and remain blind forever? Therefore, we must believe that everything that the Creator gives us is for our own good, although we must pray, just in case, that the Creator will lift these troubles from us." However, we must know that the prayer and the granting of the prayer are two separate issues. In other words, if we do what we must, then the Creator will do what is good for us, as with the above allegory. It is said about that, and the Lord will do that which seems good to Him. The same principle applies to a person and his friend, meaning that he should sell the beams of his house and put shoes on his feet. In other words, a person should sell the beams of his house, meaning all the incidents that his house experienced in regards to the love of friends. One may have questions and complaints about his friend, since he is working devotedly in love of friends, yet he sees no response on the part of the friends that would help him in any way. They are all behaving not according to his understanding of how love of friends should be, meaning that each one will speak to his friend in a respectable manner, as it is among distinguished individuals. Also, regarding actions, he sees no action on the part of the friends that he can look at in relation to love of friends. Instead, everything is normal, as it is among ordinary people who still did not have an interest in coming together and deciding to build a society where there is love of friends, where each cares for the well-being of the other. Thus, now he sees that there is no one to look at who engages in love of friends. And since he feels that he is the only one who is walking on the right path, and he is looking at everyone with a contempt and scorn, this is called spies. That is, he is spying on his friends to see if they are behaving properly toward him in regards to love thy friend. And since he constantly hears that the friends are preaching all day long that love of others is the most important, he wants to see if what they say is what they do. And then he sees that it is all lip service. He finds that even in speaking, there is no love of others. And this is the smallest thing in love of others. In other words, if he seeks someone a question, if he asks someone a question, he answers him offhandedly, indifferently, not in the way one answers a friend. Rather, is all cold, as if he wants to get rid of him. And don't ask me, if you're thinking about love of others, why are you criticizing if your friend loves you, as though love of friends is established on the basis of self-love? And this is why I want to see what my self-love gained from this engagement. These are not my thoughts. Rather, I truly want love of others. This is why I was interested in establishing this society, so I would see that each and every one is engaging in love of others, so that through it the little bit of force that I have in love of others would increase, and I would have the strength to engage in love of others more powerfully than I could by myself. But now I see that I have gained nothing, because I see that not even one is doing good. Thus, it would be better if I weren't with them and hadn't learned from their actions. To that, there is a reply, that if a society is established with certain people, and when they gathered, they must have been someone who wished to establish specifically this bunch. Thus, he sorted out these people to see that they were suitable for each other. In other words, each of them had a spark of love of others, but the spark couldn't ignite the light of love to shine in them. So they agreed that by uniting, the sparks would become a big flame. Hence, now too, when he is spying on them, he should overcome and say, as all of them were of one mind, that they must walk on the path of love of others when the society was established, so it is now. And when everyone judges his friends favorably, all the sparks will ignite once more, and again there will be one big flame. It is as Baal HaSulam once said, when he asked about the covenant of the two friends make, as we find in the Torah, and Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them to Avimelech, and they too made a covenant. He asked, if the two of them love each other, of course they do good to each other. And naturally, when there is no love between them, because the love was waned for some reason, they do not do good to one another. So how does making a covenant between them help? He answered that the covenant that they do is not for now, since now, when the love is felt between them, there is no need to make a covenant. Rather, the making of the covenant is done purposely for the future. In other words, it is possible that after some time they will not feel the love as they do now, but they will still keep their relations as before. This is what the making of the covenant is for. We can also see that although now they do not feel the love as it was when the society was established, everyone must still overcome his view and go above reason. By that, everything will be corrected, and each will judge his friend favorably. Now we can understand the words of our sages who said, one should always sell the beams of his house and put shoes on his feet. Min'alim, shoes, come from the word ne'ilat delet, locking a door, meaning closing. Once a person has spied on his friend, and rigel, spied, comes from the word raglaim, feet. He should sell the beams of his house, meaning all that has happened to his house in the connection between him and his friend, meaning the spies that he has who slander the friends. Then sell everything, means remove all the incidents that the spies have brought to him and put shoes on his feet instead. The meaning is that he should lock away the spies as though they no longer exist in the land. And he will shut away all the questions and demands that he has about them, and then everything will come to its place in peace.
Questions? I don't know what to add here, because the article is very wide open.
We need
to try to see in every situation that we go through, from the highest state to the lowest state, from the clearest state to the state that is most opaque and clear, foggy, that it all stems from the relation between the light and the vessel. And therefore I have to go through that state. The question is only, how did I prepare myself in order to receive that state and to go through it, and from it to come out to a more advanced state going forward? That is the whole issue. So everything depends on my preparation. But each and every state stems from the Rishimot, that are in me, back from the shattering of the vessels, and the, it's mingling with the other vessels. And so I have to go through these states one by one. If I prepare myself properly and well, then the states that I go through, first of all, I receive them with understanding. I precede the blow with the remedy. I know what for and why, and I accept it as a blessing. I bless on the evil as on the as over the good, because everything comes to push me forward. I'm already in such a preparation. I prepare the group, my daily schedule, my the preparations, my planning. So the more that I receive the burdening of the heart, I'm already in the right state towards whatever is happening. If emotions come that are unpleasant, or the other way around, somehow it is easier to relate to them correctly, even if they're unpleasant. But there are many situations in which a person feels nothing. Where he's simply devoid of any feelings, some sort of fogginess. Time passes, day goes by, sometimes months, and these months are as if useless. And indeed, a person doesn't feel that he can add anything. This is the worst possible state. Indifference, apathy, is a great problem. And here, certainly, we have to work in a way that we determine the order, the schedule, and as it comes without any sensation, so also does the person operate. Even though it's without any sensation, he still works mechanically, thus still gathering, collecting all the moments in the right direction, as much as he's able. And there's no feeling, there's no awakening, no understanding, none. Okay, fine. But at least in the action, in whatever is possible, one still participates, and then it is considered as a complete action for him. Therefore, one should always sell the beams of his house. Doesn't matter what happens to him, what he acquired earlier. This is called his house, his property. Rather, the main thing is for him to have the ability to take another step forward. Questions?
When a student reads the instructions from the teacher or from the books, when it is written, you should overcome, it's the most annoying, it's one of the most annoying things.
I understand you, I remember it also. It's true, yeah. To overcome, well, you have to receive everything with happiness, uplifted spirit, with love, and you are without any strength, and yeah, it's true. But then what? The first problem is that a person clings to his own skin. To his skin. Or, in Ein, in Hebrew. He clings to that. The Torah is written over the parchment when you separate the skin into, you know, right? And it's written on this half of the skin. On that you write the letters of the Torah. The letters of the Torah are the kelim, the vessels in which we receive the upper light. Here, therefore, is the problem. Am I separating between or and or, skin and light? Am I separating myself versus what I feel? That here there has to be some separation between one and the other. I'm asking for the upper light, that it will come and give me some sort of a distance, a range, some separation between the I, that point of sensation, and what I feel. These are two different things. It's a big problem for a person who is not developed. We see people who are childish getting upset at one another. A person gets upset at himself. He cannot distinguish between himself and his character, his nature, what is in him, what is related to him. These are two things. Older people or people who already have some life experience. I'm not talking about people who study Kabbalah, but in general, let's say psychologists, they can differentiate between the I, myself, and my character, myself and what I'm thinking right now, myself and the situation that I'm in. So there is the I, which is like a clear, like an instrument, a computer, and what this computer is filled up with various programs, various pieces of data that you can erase, you can exchange them by something else. Older people also who have life experience, they also relate this way both to themselves and also to one another. Well, fine, his weakness is that, and my character is this, and his is different, and that's how we live. So there is some sort of a difference distinguishing between a man and his fulfillment. And that is what people who come to study the wisdom of Kabbalah lack. That they do not distinguish, do not differentiate between the I, myself, as an empty vessel, and what this vessel has for the time being, what it is filled up with. What it is filled up with, well, fine, that's how I function for the time being, that's how I behave according to that. It's true that sometimes I identify with this and I feel that this is the I, also what I was filled up with, inflated with, and the way I was brought up. So me and my ego cling to one another. And sometimes I have a little bit of illumination that helps me to differentiate between myself and my ego and my outlook and my perception and my character and my tastes, etc. And I become more objective, both regarding myself as well as the world. So we have it and that. We need to scrutinize, as it says, in the light of the Lord, our fulfillment, and to ask to replace it.
Then
you won't get upset when you hear about the fact that you have to overcome, you have to grow stronger, to yearn for love of friends. Rather, you are just observing from the side both what you are. You become an expert regarding yourself and also regarding what the Torah says. And you understand that for the time being, this is what fills you up. It's even also managing you, all that is inside of you. And the Torah is explaining to you what you should be replacing your internality with. This cartridge,
מחסנים בלילה, כן. זהו. כן.
Yes.
How do we reach a state that each moment you are able to format every emotion that comes correctly?
The most important thing is nonetheless to be detached from oneself, to try to cling in your emotions, your mind, in something to the upper, that I want to see myself the way the Creator sees me. A little child. Like we look at little children. You see, we love them. Why? Because in them everything comes naturally. There are no layers in his behavior. He wants something, he just grabs it. In him everything is revealed. It's simple. Simple meaning a single layer. In whatever he receives fulfillment from nature, that's how he behaves. We perform all kinds of calculations, and therefore we can't quite tolerate ourselves as well as the others. But when you look at a child, you see what moves him, what manages him, what operates him, the way he is being operated, activated, whatever he does. You can see his character because it is still plain. It is still a single layer. That's how we have to look at ourselves on behalf of the Creator. It's interesting the way he created me, the way he fills me up, the way that each and every moment he changes the Reshimot, and through the Reshimot I constantly discover myself in a different form. I discover the world in a different form. And this Reshimot determines who I am, what am I inside, and how do I accept the world. And each time I have to materialize the Reshimot so that there is none else besides him, and he is good and does good, both in my internal state and also in the external state, so that everything will be as there is none else besides him. So, if you try to observe whatever is happening to you on behalf of the Creator, as if, certainly, as much as it turns out, but somehow, by that, you start learning how to resemble the upper, the one who is bigger, just like a child wants to resemble the grown-ups. And he doesn't even have any need for that in his life. But no, he wants it to be the same way as it is for the grown-ups. And that way, you'll grow. We need to try to do it specifically like that. And the main thing is to distinguish between the two Ort in Hebrew, skin and light. These two, sorry, to distinguish between the two parts of the skin. The part that is attached to the flesh and the part that is on the outside. That is what is important. Observing oneself a bit more objectively from the side. From here come all the different advice that you need to accept the opinion of the environment, the opinion of the group, instead of one's own opinion. You have to connect with the friends, make his desire as your desire, instead of your own desire, etc. Because by that, you can start separating from yourself a little bit and seeing yourself from the side. Yes?
When we are able to observe ourselves from the side, it's actually to treat favorably, as we have learned?
No, not yet. It's not yet judging to the scale of merit, but you're in a state where maybe you will ask that the light will affect you, and this light will bring you an understanding, a feeling, an urgency to do something. It doesn't say anything yet, but you are already beginning to want to be, well, not, well, an animal or a beast is called when they simply cling to the Rishimot, that awaken in them without any criticism, looking from the side, they simply execute it. This is the degree of the animal, meaning they're still vegetative and animate. This is called natural, instinctive behavior. If I want to distinguish myself, to come out of this kind of management and look at what is happening to me from the side, then I already begin to examine it, criticize it, and maybe change my own behavior, etc. So here I will have to demand for the reforming light, to have the group, etc. So this is the point from which onwards I start developing, when I come out of myself. This is the first point from which the Adam grows in me, meaning above the beast, above the instinctive form in which I'm operated, and I keep operating instinctively. Maybe I have no possibility to come out of it, but I'm constantly trying to observe myself from the side, like a person who's walking together with the beast, as if for the time being the beast is leading him, he lets it do it. For the time being, he's studying it. Just like when you train animals. So first you let it do whatever it wants. Go ahead and do whatever you want, but I'm next to you. Get used to me. And then you ride it, and then you start somehow, well, gradually. Yes, Mark.
When I am in my own will to receive, then it overcomes me. And when I'm observing myself on the side, what do I hold on to? What is my anchor or something that enables me to observe myself from the side?
This is already in the Rishimo itself. It's not that I feel like coming out. I feel like moving away from myself, looking at myself from the side, studying myself. How much it is, well, sometimes it's really unpleasant, of course, because who are we? But that is already rooted in the Rishimo. That to the extent that a person receives a certain uplifting, a certain awakening, well, in what kli do I feel whatever awakening, uplifting that comes to me? It is in the same part of myself that can be separated from the animal, from the animate degree inside of me. So when the awakening comes by the light already starts differentiating, as if peeling myself from my ego. And then I start feeling an awakening and uplifting a little bit differently. I see the world with different eyes. The sensation is different. So it is already rooted in the Rishimo itself. The Rishimo itself already comes from a higher degree. And here starts my work. How much can I add to that Rishimo, an exertion, and I try to really be with it and look at my animate degree in a way that I am above it. And then we ask for the upper light, and then a man starts realizing, why do all the Kabbalists tell him that he needs a group, that he has to take an example from them, that he has to cleave to them instead of cleaving to himself? Make your desire as his desire with respect to the Creator, and also make your desire as his with respect to the friend. Serve the others instead of serving oneself. And all of these things, they stem from that a person has to rise above the animate degree to the speaking degree. And all the means that he builds his a mini world of, for himself, the group, dissemination, all kinds of things, that through that he draws the reforming light, and then he distinguishes himself, goes a little bit further away from his beast. Besides the necessity that it needs, of course, there's always a struggle, because the more he tries to go further away from it, he's drawn more to it, so that he will have what to grow over. But that's the work. Yes.
While the light illuminates and it's pleasant, well, this is easy, so to speak. But we, many times we say not to feel bad within the will to receive and not to identify ourselves with it, rather to see it from the side, that it's not that I'm having this pain, rather the will to receive is. How do I grab onto something in these cases?
If I feel bad, why can't I receive the bad feeling as help that allows me to run away from it?
Because it's aching in...
Because you're clinging to that sensation. Why can't you come out of it and see it from the side?
Where do I come out?
That is the difference between the way of the Torah and the way of suffering. That if I haven't prepared myself, then I'm simply clinging to the bad sensation. If I prepared myself, then the bad sensation helps me to move away. Then I run away from that bad, and I cling to the society more. That is exactly the point of this split, the forking of the two ways. Everything depends on preparation. And then I receive the bad things as good, I bless over them. It's not that I have to artificially bless over the bad as over the good. What is that? Rather, both the bad thing and the good thing, both of them, this and that, they both help me run forward.
So forward, this forward is...
Well, let's say that I have some illness and I feel bad. And the bad feeling helps me immediately come to the doctor and shows him, oh, here it hurts. We were waiting, you know, to see where I will have some sort of a rash or something so that we can cure it, but we didn't know where it is. And now they show me where it is. So I'm happy. I come to him and I say, ooh, it hurts here. And then he cures it. So I see in this pain an indication for advancement, for curing, healing. Otherwise, how would I advance? And I don't really feel the pain. I feel it as an indication for the correction, for the advancement. All the more so, I'm very happy about it. And this pain is felt totally differently. It's not felt as pain, rather as an indication. It's really so. It is all psychological. It's all in our head. Try it and you'll see that... What pain? It's just like a light, a traffic light. Just changes and that's it. It all depends on your attitude to the traffic light. If you're upset at it, you can go, you know, and sometimes just look at it as an indication, as a sign.
So, in the preparation to come out of the ego, so I'm preparing myself to come out to what? To be the concern of the others, of the society. What is the work each and every second of getting closer to, so that the moment this pain comes, I'll be prepared and not be 100% identified with the will to receive?
You'll want it to come. I awaken the dawn, you will even want to come, because these indications of the corruption are desirable. These indications are that you are advancing by them. So what did you ask? Sorry?
At the time of the preparation, what is the work? What am I...
To cleave as much as possible to the group, to the Rav, to the books, to dissemination, to everything that has to do with being around the Creator, around the Light. As much as possible, invest in that. What else do you have? There's nothing. There are no other means. But that is enough. Yes.
If I'm trying to take the advice you gave ideally, then I need to have a schedule that every moment during the day I'm planning exactly what I'm doing with the groove, with Rav, with the books.
Well, how can you plan? What do you know? How do you know what's going to happen? You have to cleave to that first of all every moment in your life, in your mind, to try and have such supporters that will bring you back to the importance of cleaving to the group. That there is your free choice. So,
and then, when I have these supporters, what basically happens is we're saying we are beings of feeling, but this feeling brings me to a place that I have to be outside my own feeling.
That is true, and that is also called that you're taking care of your sensation. The sensation is the vessel. We are matter that feels. So, if I wouldn't feel, then I wouldn't feel myself, I wouldn't feel reality. We exist out of our senses. We exist within our senses.
This is the discernment that I'm unable to...
Matter itself? I don't know about it. I only know what I feel inside of it. The will to receive, I don't know. There's no such thing as a will to receive that I can point to. I can point to phenomena that exist apparently inside of the will to receive. Phenomena. I live inside of these phenomena that come from it. I live in a world of emotions, impressions. Everything that there is here affects me, influences me. And these influences, I feel them. And not my own, not the will itself. I don't feel the will itself. I feel the way it is impressed. If it has nothing to be impressed from, if it's not impressed, then I don't feel it. Yes?
Again, I'm trying to understand this advice. So I have the emotions that come up, some good, some bad, doesn't matter. The question is, if I understand correctly, so how do I translate them? What do I do with these emotions? And the advice I'm hearing right now is basically ignore these emotions.
No, don't ignore them. Look at them from the side. That's not ignoring them. How come? I have to study them. All of our work, all of our progress is by studying myself. From that I study what the Creator is doing to me. And out of seeing what He is doing to me, what He is awakening in those Rishimot, these situations that keep coming, every time He is awakening me a new world, a new form, a new picture, a new perception. From that I start constructing my attitude to Him. All in all of these perceptions, through them, I want Him. Why did you do that to me? What for? How can I understand from that who you are, what you are, the way you are, the way I should relate to you, etc.? Try to constantly, through the perception of the world that you have, to decipher, to maybe crack Him. To crack, is that the right word?
And then, well, it's just as an example that he gave here with a child and the father walking on the street. I need some perspective. Where do I get this perspective from? Because this scene of the child walking with a child, he's screaming and his father is by his side, it's not clear until you go to the side. You're asking the Father what happened, and then you understand what really happened.
This is why you have the books for, and the teacher who explains to you, and a group is keeping it somehow as an example for you. So you have everything around you. You're not by yourself. We're not talking about, by yourself, Adam Rishon, for 20 generations, and then Abraham, all of those, they discovered that by themselves. But those are different souls, different Rishimot, pure Rishimot. We, following the shattering, following everything, we can't do it by ourselves. Well,
what I can't basically understand is how to process the situation with the society. What do I speak to people in a workshop, or how do I relate to what they're saying? This is what I'm trying to understand.
No, usually it's each one inside of himself. If I start talking to them, I'm going to confuse them with my stuff. That's not desirable. What is desirable is to speak together specifically about a single topic, the greatness of the group, the greatness of the creator, the greatness of the teacher. From that will come the strength to lift each and every one. That's first of all, this is the topic. And around that, all kinds of small topics or subjects. Moti, yeah?
There is one other topic the article speaks about. How do I identify the spies in me that divert me to the thought of slandering, as he says, slandering the friends, the path, the group? How do I identify this? Is this a scrutiny or... there's such a thing that a person always feels he's right, but what guides him there?
If a person doesn't divide himself into two parts, he doesn't recognize it. How can he distinguish that these are the spies? He thinks that these are the friends, that they are helping him. Spies also help, of course, but they help in the opposite manner. The Creator is the one that sends the spies. He is the one that, as it says, I have burdened his heart. So it keeps going throughout the desert, throughout all of our lives. But if I identify with him, I don't look as the negative side, as it is mine, or does the negative side belong to him or not? The main thing is to attach everything that happens, first of all, to the upper source, and to see that he is opposite me, playing with me, and how I should respond to the way that he is playing with me, and how I, through the group, and through everything that I study, all the different advice, how do I defeat him? My sons have defeated me. To defeat the Creator? By him constantly giving me, exercises, new exercises, and I crack them, and I discover it's coming from him, there's none else besides him, he's good and does good. Like in that letter, that in the morning when a person gets up, he has to say, there's none else besides him. If not me, for myself. And later in the evening, it has to be, there's none else besides him, etc. Yes?
But these thoughts, these spies, they bug me. They come and they give you totally alien thoughts.
Why are you not ready? Ask yourself, why am I not ready to receive them? Right now, I'm smart. At this moment, you're smart. And you're sitting and... you're sitting here, you have your head, you can distinguish, this is the Creator, this is the whole of creation, he's playing with it, and by playing with us, he wants to teach us as though we're children, teaching, and this way to bring us closer to him. that I now, when I see that, I look at it, everything is clear to me that it's this way, and the game is clear, it's a fixed game. I have to be here, that's it. But what is required of me is like of a little child, to understand and take part in the right manner, so that I'll grow older, mature, and by that I'll resemble the Creator. My teacher, actually, he's the teacher. So, why do I not accept it this way every day, every moment in my life? Why am I not ready for that? Ask that. That's the only thing that's important. How do I constantly criticize in my perception, in my position? How do I take the right position? The right position towards what is happening. I stand firm and I understand what is happening. Why do I constantly fall? What do I lack in order to not fall? You lack adhesion. That's it. So ask for it. If you will have a little bit of adhesion with the Creator, each moment, each frame that will now appear before you, another picture and another picture, you will discover it as a game that you are really in it together. Truly so. Then you will hear, come to Pharaoh, because I have burdened his heart a little bit more and a little bit more. That is what is lacking. And you reach that through a need. And I hope that dissemination will give us that. The group doesn't reveal sufficient lack. I very much hope that by really having this dissemination in such an intensity, it will pressure us back. We will have to mature. Like a young couple that are starting to take care of a child, they grow up. They, for lack of choice, they become more responsible, more independent.
A lack for what? To cleave to the Creator, to...
Then you'll have a lack, a deficiency, not just that I will look at every picture that I see in life, first of all, I think that this is just a picture, no more, it's coming from the Creator as a game, and through the environment, I need to position myself in the right manner, etc. And also, that I myself... Well, let's put it this way. The more you operate in the group and in dissemination, and actually in the world, you are about to influence the whole world, even though it doesn't seem to you that your actions are actually affecting the whole world, but they're actually affecting the whole world, you bet. So, it turns out that the more you operate in that, you're entering the game with the Creator in a more active manner, more practical. And that helps you to be in this game with greater understanding and feeling. Why? Because as the Creator is working on you, managing you, playing with you, you, in such a way, exactly, are working on the external audience, managing them, playing with them, even though you don't know that now, you don't yet feel it, you haven't yet hooked on it. You're not really still in this kind of adaptation, this matching the Creator towards you and you towards them, but it will come. Out of your work with the audience, you'll start feeling that it greatly resembles what is being done to you. What does Bina do, all in all? What is before it? from the Keter up to the middle of Binah, she takes it, and that way she bestows to Malchut. So our dissemination, it's really the game of life. From that we learn and we resemble ourselves to the Creator. It is something very important. Yes, Mike.
So how to explain? You can sit for years and try to connect to the group, and you can't feel and understand that the group is greater than you, and in the smallest actions with your relatives, you're sitting for 30 minutes, you're trying to explain, and it suddenly comes to you. How does it work?
Because by that, you resemble yourself to the Creator. You come to them to influence them a little bit with the connection, love, the necessity for that. A person, you become the passageway, the one who passes the light, this pipeline. And because here you touch your role, you receive from above a little bit more light, and it's already a special light, which grows you, because if you raise the efficiency of the lower one to the upper one, you receive twice. You already receive a part of your achap that you never received before. And by that, you have become greater, not just, there's a baby, and the baby is bigger and bigger and bigger. And there is already a point where to this baby are added forces and understandings of, say, a teenager or a mature person. That's what you get. If one does not take care of an external audience, he won't grow in his achap. And achap is all the understanding, all the emotion, all the development. This is why it's very important. This is why it is called, I've learned a lot from my teachers, more from my friends, and even more from my students. Because by teaching his students, he develops his achap. You understand? Because the elder takes twice. So from that he grows. If he doesn't take care of his students, then he only grows in his galgalta and naim, which is called mute. He doesn't have an understanding, a grasp or anything. The moment he starts, as you say, to go out, even to your relatives or someone, already you have an increase of your vessels in an essential manner. This is already the achab of the kelim. This is why it is so important. This is why I said also a few minutes ago that I hope that dissemination will bring us the salvation. Us personally, we need to go up to the next level. Yes.
The feeling when we disseminate and go out with love to people. In the Zohar, it's written that there's no full love without fear. Maybe this fear is missing from the state we're in front, what's upon us.
But how can you demand that from a person if he doesn't see the whole picture? Say, a baby. How does he know how precious he is to his parents? How does he know? Rather, he just runs around, and this feeling, the importance of oneself, of one's role, of the fact that he actually exists, simply existing. One doesn't get that, doesn't attain that. If he would understand how important he is to his parents, to the environment, maybe he would be running around in a different way. That's how we are. How can we? I mean, you are very precious to the Creator. So what? Well, you heard it. Now, from this moment onwards, you're going to behave differently. Right? No?
How do we develop this place of the adhesion to the purpose and the magnitude of the responsibility will affect us in such a way that we won't leave this.
Bit by bit, just do what is up to you to do right now, each time, and everything, you know, will come to its place. Don't worry about it. Leave something also, well, to me, to the group, to the Creator. We don't need to, you know, get hold of the whole of reality at once. All right, we'll move on. Let's move on to the next part.
Moving on to the next part of the lesson.